Grace to you and peace today from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to start out with a few scriptures today. David says in Psalm 9, verse 11, "Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds." And we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Then in 2 Timothy 4, Paul tells Timothy, he says in verse 5, "As for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So it seems pretty clear to me from Scripture that God wants us to be telling other people about his wonderful salvation in Christ. Today, therefore, I want to talk with you about evangelism, especially about you being an evangelist. Not just Uncle Sam, but God wants you. So how does that strike you, about you being an evangelist? Is that a good or a bad thing? Does it make you nervous or excited? Do you want to be an evangelist? Well, today I'd like to talk with you about these questions. Are we all evangelists? What's it mean to be one? And how does God help us in these things, about telling the wonderful news of his salvation in Christ to other people? Well, what does God say? I think the first thing God wants to tell us today is he wants us to remind us that the Great Commission is a command that God has given to his church. Remember what it says in Matthew 28. This is after Jesus' resurrection. Last words he basically tells the apostles, pretty much. It says, "Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the close of the age.'" So, it's a command. He says, go. And you can look that word up in Hebrew. You can look it up in Greek, Latin, French, Spanish, English. You know what go means? It means go. I went to seminary for 7 years to find that out. He wants us to go. And the reason he wants us to go is because God is passionate about saving souls. And we're key players in his plan of the ages. And we remember in John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And so this message that we're preaching, we're called to bring life to the world, to bring the life of the eternal life that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. And here's the clincher. Jesus says in John 20, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." I don't believe he's just talking about the apostles there. And when we see Uncle Sam pointing at us, I think we can see God pointing and saying, "I send you, you, you personally." So that's great, isn't it? Go means go. But what's the trouble? Trouble is that as great as this is, a lot of times we don't want to go, do we? We're kind of lazy, or we're reluctant, we don't want to, or we drag our feet. Just the other week, I was up in Cape Cod with my family, and my sister's family doesn't go to church a whole lot, and I wanted to share with them Christ, and especially Ashley, my niece, who's a little younger than Naomi. And so I wanted to invite her to our prayer each night as a family, so that she could hear about Christ and our prayers. And the first night, she was like, "No, that's weird, strange, uncomfortable." Next night, she came, and we made a game of it. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, we always go, "Amen, period." But we go, "Amen." Each person doing a part of that. P-ir-e-a-duh. Vivian knows. And she got really, Ashley got really excited about who would get the duh at the end of it. But then she heard about Christ through the prayers. Well, this was working really well. Except we had a very active day one day. I was very exhausted. We were watching TV. It was late. I was sleepy. I wanted to go to bed. And so I said, "Okay, everybody, let's go to bed," secretly hoping we'd skip family prayers that night. Shame on me. Well, Ashley then tells me, "Uncle Munkle," for that's what I'm called in that family, "Uncle Munkle, can we say prayers in my room tonight?" And I was like, at first, like, ugh. But then I thought, "Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry." She wants to hear the word, and I don't want to preach. I don't want to share. So I repented. I went, and of course, it was the right thing to do, and we had a great time. But the point is, a lot of times, when God says go, we say no. And that happens in the Bible, too. It's not just us. It's the greats, Moses and Jeremiah and Gideon and others. Think about Moses, one of the greats of the whole Bible. God says, I've seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I've heard their cry, and I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, etc. And he says, come, I'll send you to Pharaoh, and then you'll bring forth my people, etc. But Moses said, notice the but there. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? What's Moses say when God says go? He says, no, I don't want to, basically. Who am I? So God answers them, I'll be with you, though. And then Moses says, but behold, they'll not believe me or hear my voice, for they'll say the Lord didn't appear to you. God says, I'll do miracles, and they will listen to you. Then Moses again, a third time, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm not an evangelist. I don't know how to talk to either till now or since you've spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech, and I'm slow of tongue. So God says, who made the man's mouth? Who makes him dumb, deaf, seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I'll be with your mouth. And then Moses is so bold as to go a fourth time and say, oh, Lord, my God, I pray, send someone else. And then God got angry with him. His anger was kindled against Moses. But he still didn't give up on Moses, did he? And he doesn't give up on us. God doesn't take no for an answer. He's like a mother bird fluttering over her young. And it's time for them to leave the nest. And she won't give up until they have left and are flying. And so our God also doesn't pass over Moses, but encourages him. He doesn't pass over us, but he encourages us, even when we've said no. So we had to repent and listen to the Lord and follow. Because he doesn't call qualified people. He qualifies those whom he calls. And he creates joy along the way. So let's talk now for a couple minutes about how does God help us in going and evangelizing? What's he say to us? Well, the first thing he says to you is the same thing he said to Moses. He says, come, I'll send you to Pharaoh, in this case to somebody else. But Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and to bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? What's God's response? He answers, but I will be with you. But I will be with you. And this shall be a sign for you. I'll bring you back to this mountain when I've brought you out. So God goes with us. And who is it that goes with us? He says, I'll go with you. Who is the I here? Let's remember, he says, I am who I am is going with you. Namely, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the stars of the universe, the redeemer of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the bright morning star goes with you. I was recently witnessing for a number of weeks to a couple of Mormons that were coming over to my house. And we had lots of long conversations. And it's like two against one in a sense, two of them, one of me. But you know what? The Lord stood by me. It was two and two. As a matter of fact, as one of my professors at seminary used to say, when the Lord is with you, the whole world could be against you, and you're still in the majority. Well, God always gives us the words when he goes with us. You know, you might be saying today, okay, the message on evangelism, but I'm not comfortable with going. I don't talk well. I'm slow of speech, Pastor. Send someone else. But Jesus says to you about persecution, but also evangelism, when they deliver you up, don't be anxious how you're to speak or what you're to say. For what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Can I just tell you, I've found that to be true so many times, whether I'm witnessing to the Mormons or someone on the street or to the Hindus or just anybody. The Lord somehow puts the right words in there, and that's so exciting. That's what I want for you. That's what God wants for you. Think about Jeremiah. He says, I've become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks at me. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and they'll not overwhelm me. You know that the God who goes with you is God himself. And we can be like the Blues Brothers. Remember that movie? We're on a mission from God. We can't be stopped. That should be our attitude. Even if people reject you, Jesus says they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. So remember, one person plus God is a majority. Another thing I think really we need to know about, which God would share with us today, is when you go to be an evangelist, you might be saying, or one of your great obstacles against it would be, I'm just plain not an evangelist. I don't talk like they talk. You know, we have this idea of evangelists that we got to be like from the South, you know, and have this quivering voice and this big coiffed hair, you know, and we've got to say something along the lines like, now I'm going to tell you today, you're going to hear my voice, the Lord's going to speak to you today, you know. We don't have to talk like that. In fact, let me give you a little secret. People generally really are repelled a lot of times by that kind of evangelism. You don't have to be an evangelist also who goes door to door. Maybe you don't like that. Maybe it's uncomfortable for you. Guess what? We don't see that necessarily in the Bible, people doing that. That's a good way, but it's not the only way. You don't have to choose that way. You don't have to be a great speaker. Moses said, I'm slow of speech. God said, I made people's mouths. I can give you words. I can put my words in you. You don't have to be a great speaker. You don't have to speak on a street corner with a megaphone. You don't have to be a televangelist. And as much as scripture knowledge is good, and we should grow in that, you don't even have to be a great scripture expert to witness. But you simply have to be you. Let me share this secret with you. Over here in 1 Samuel 17, we see David going to fight against Goliath. And King Saul says, who will go? And David says, here am I, I'll go. And he says, your servants killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul, watch this, clothed David with his own armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I'm not used to them. And David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag or wallet. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And you all know what happened after that. Well, I think God's telling me one of the things in this is, why are you trying to go in somebody else's armor? Why are you trying to be somebody else when you're evangelizing? I choose you personally. Add your name into it. Every one of you here is called by God to be an evangelist, and God chose you with your own unique personality, your own unique experiences, your own unique gifts. Every one of us has a different fingerprint. Nobody else has yours. God made you, and he wants you to go. He's designed things for you. Don't go with someone else's armor. You don't even have to have great scripture knowledge, which a lot of you use as an excuse. You know, I can understand that. Like, a pastor can go. He studied this. I don't know it, so let him do the evangelism. You know how much we'd grow if only I were doing anything here? Virtually zero. But think about the man who is blind. He didn't have a great amount of scripture knowledge. Jesus healed him. And the Pharisee said, give God the praise. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. And he answered, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. That's all you got to be able to say. Though I was blind, now I see. Your personal experience with the Lord. Think about the woman at the well. Remember her? She didn't know a whole lot. By the way, she was a Samaritan. Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did, she said. Can this be the Christ? She went away and told the city about Christ. She didn't have any theological knowledge, hardly. All she knew was she was amazed at this man, Jesus. And what happened? She shared with passion, and many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Remember, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. You don't have to go with someone else's armor. You don't have to be someone else. God wants you, and he designed a mission for you especially. in your own particular setting, with your own experiences. And this has been so hard for me to wrap my mind around. I know when I was trying to become a pastor, I went through seminary and had great turmoil in spirit, because I'm like, I don't match, in my mind, what they're portraying a pastor to be. Word and sacrament ministry, word and sacrament ministry, word and sacrament ministry, which is great, okay? But the way it sounded was like I have to sit inside a stale church behind my desk and study and be an academic and an indoorsman all my life. And I'm like, but I love the outdoors. I'm athletic. I like to be out doing things. And it just didn't seem to match. And I had great turmoil. Can I really be a pastor? Till finally I felt like the Lord said to me, Greg, where's this in the Bible? Come on. That you must be behind a desk and an indoor man all the time. There's some of that. But what apostle spent all his days behind a desk? Were they not fishermen? Wasn't Paul all over the world traveling and preaching in marketplaces? Didn't Jesus, my son, minister on the mountains and lakes as well as in a synagogue? And so it's a great revelation to me. Don't go with someone else's armor. Greg, I called you. I want you. With all your experiences, I want who you are and your own passions, your own quirks, your own weirdisms are all going to be part of ministering to other people for the mission I have for you. And God wants that same thing for each and every one of you when he says, go. So don't go with someone else's armor. Don't try to be someone else. You don't need coiffed hair, a big voice, or a trembling, quivering tongue. Just be yourself. God also, I think, tells us something, that it's his word that's at work in us. He's able, like a magnifying glass, to take it and put it over you and magnify his word, even if you have a feeble, pretty pathetic witness. And I'm talking about myself here. I remember a time I had a guy in Cape Cod where I was visiting at a nursing home. His name was Major. That was his name from the Army, I mean his title, and he just wanted to be called that. And I went in kind of like to just be a friend of his, an adopt-a-grandparent program type of thing. And I was not a very bold witnesser at the time. One day a Methodist, or I think it was a Methodist preacher, came in and roughed him up a bit and told him he was going to hell unless he believed in Christ. And next time I went in to visit Major, he told me he was really troubled and he was upset about this man. Can you believe the gall of that man? I'm a Mason. I swore with my hand upon the Bible. There, I ought to be good enough for God. How dare he tell me I'm going to hell without Jesus Christ? So I was kind of a pathetic witness, but he asked me, what do you think about that, Greg? And I said, you know what? He's right. You do need Christ to be saved. And I spoke in a gentler voice, kind of a meek voice. I kind of wavered through the gospel, but I got it out there. And you know what? He prayed to receive Jesus Christ. It was a weak witness on my part. I was pretty pathetic, as I've been on a number of occasions. But the Lord magnifies these things. About a month later, Major called me up in Maine, where I'd moved up to, and he says, Greg, I just want to thank you for sharing Jesus with me, because I don't know what's happened to me. I've always been a grouch. I've always woken up with a sour, dark attitude. I'm being nice to the nurses, and I don't know what's going on. I just want to thank you for sharing Jesus with me. And I was like, whoa, it really took, even though I did very little. Guess what? God says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and return not thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to be empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Just a little word, my friends. Even a still small voice can carry the word of the Lord. And also, I want to share not only feeble voices, but little voices. You know, we had this children's sermon. If they go home and tell their parents something, that's a great benefit and blessing to God. I was at the doctor this week for my yearly physical, Dr. Kabobel's over in Rock Ledge. And I was getting my blood drawn, which I don't have a problem with that, but I thought it was really cool. They stuck the needle in there, and my arm is usually like a map of arteries here, so I don't have trouble finding it. I can still see the mark right there. And it's got the little vial there, and the blood just starts spattering out into it and pouring out into the first vial and then the second one, the third one. Just do regular blood work. But I hope. But anyway, I'm looking at splatter, and it's so red, and it's pouring in there and gushing in there. And I'm just thinking, wow. And I told the nurse, wow, that's amazing. And you know what? I had an inner thought. I thought, why don't I say this? How amazing it is that my Lord shed his blood for me. And then I hesitated. I'm like, that'd be a little weird. That'd be a little strange. Should I really? And I waited a couple seconds, and then finally I said, and you know what? How amazing it is that my Savior shed his blood for me. And she smiled. I don't know what effect it had on her, but I bore witness to my God. And it's that which God delights in, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Maybe it'll have a great effect on her day. Maybe not much effect at all. But it was a witness. And this is what we need to do. Just little things over the way. And if God provides, a bigger witness. In the same office, the doctor, who's a doctor, he's not an evangelist, but he is. In his waiting room, he has a TV screen with tropical fish and scripture verses appearing, phasing in and out with hymn music in the back. I thought that was great. Art Hansen here, he's got special gifts and technology. He does our website. He's getting the stuff out there that way. Reverend David Mulder, who passed away, I was reading about him. I got his thing in here. He loves sports. He shared salvation through sports. And some pastors go to a Harley, convention. Or surf. Or share through gardening. There's a million ways. And what I challenge you to do this week is to humble yourselves before God. Get on your knees before him. Be willing and obedient. And actually ask him, God, how might you send me? What would I do? And listen to what he might share with you. And if it's reasonable and accord with Scripture, be willing and follow that way. Remember that woman who is trying to give medicine to a dog? Sure you don't, but I'll say it this way. The dog spat it out. And she tried to give it to him again. Spat it out. One day she dropped the medicine on the door. It spilled over and the dog lapped it up. He wasn't rejecting the medicine. He just was rejecting having it rammed down his throat. If you think you got to be an evangelist by ramming something down someone's throat, guess what? That doesn't usually work anyway. We're called to let our light shine, so shine before men in such a way that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Just like this light bulb, it's got to flow into the light bulb and it's got to flow out of the light bulb. I knew this would happen. I'm going to go this way. Never use a prop. Come on, baby. No! There we go. Hooray. It's got to flow into the light bulb and out of the light bulb to shine. And God wants us to shine before men. And it leads others to joy. You know, you may never see the result of what you do. There's a man who witnessed to me on the Nathaniel Battich, a schooner. I was sailing on the way from Gloucester, Massachusetts, back up to Maine. I remember sitting there near the rail of the ship towards sunset, out at sea, and he was witnessing, and I was in the New Age a bit at the time, and he said, you got to choose between this grandfather you're talking about and Christ. So I hear you talking a lot about both of them. And you know what? He never knew what kind of fruit that brought forth in my life, but I remember him still. And he's going to see one day and rejoice on that day that he had a witness to me that brought me to faith. Beth, my wife, was witnessing to me at the same time. And she was shared a New Age book with me. And I kind of rejected it at the time. That was pointing out the errors of the New Age. And I was like, no, this is okay. And then, you know what? Over time, it bore fruit and she saw it and rejoiced. And I want to tell you, God not only gives you joy in evangelism as you do it, when you shine, but you also will see the fruit, either here or in the future. Even though sometimes we're like a boat traveling through the ocean, it looks like a clear ocean, a glossy sea, we haven't made any difference in the world, and yet you'd look behind you and you don't see it, but there's a huge wake spreading out all behind you of 1,000 lives that you've touched through those little things that you've done to share the witness with other people. And this is what God encourages us to do. For he says, he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. If you hear the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you've entered into their labor. We're all part of a big team. That man there shared with me. That man, the Methodist, shared with, with Major. Major didn't come to faith then, but a few days later, he came to faith with me. We're all part of a team in this kind of thing. So he that goes forth weeping, bearing seed for the sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And finally, I want to say one more thing. I think God wants to say one more thing to you today. And that is, let me evangelize you, he says. Let me share again with you the good news of my son, Jesus Christ. And this is love that of God was made manifest, that God sent his only son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the expiation for our sins. Do you know that to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Will you hear that good news that he died for you again today? Then know and experience and see how it feels that you are saved by grace, not by your works. You are washed, and that spattering blood, that pouring blood has gushed out to cover you and bring you life. And not only that, but eternal life. And the assurance and guarantee of it today. So it's an important task God has given us. He says, I'm the way and the truth of the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. This is a great task God's given us. And so the final word is this. I challenge you once again. This week, here's what you're to do in response to this sermon. Is to humble yourselves and pray. Be it on your bed, be it on your knees, be it standing up. But actually ask the Lord who sends you, you personally, with a great and wonderful mission for you. Say, God, I'm willing. I don't know that I have a whole lot to offer, but I give you myself. Take me, show me, and stand by me, and go with me. Show me the way that you'd have me be part of this great mission. And guess what? God is going to honor that, and you're going to shine. And God help us all, especially in VBS this week, which is beginning tomorrow and always. God grant us his grace that we may have a wonderful, gracious harvest and come home with shouts of joy. In the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.